Well, they're the first married couple to be canonized through the process, diocesan process and the apostolic process. They had tribunals to hear witnesses that knew them or people that had had some kind of contact with them. There were earlier saints that were married saints who were canonized in a sense, but they wouldn't have gone through that process, and also they wouldn't have been canonized at the same time. Right. You know, often you would have a husband maybe and then wife a few years later, that kind of thing. I know I wouldn't be able to give you the exact details of that, but I do know there are other married saints, but none that have been canonized at the same ceremony.
So, and not only that though, Saint Teresa is your sister. Is she canonized yet, or is that coming?
No, Leone's cause has been introduced,
okay.
But only just. It's only they're just setting up the first tribunal now.
So they're going to be another like kind of holy family in their own right. Would that be fair?
Well, they could be. We don't know about Leone yet, but I'd say it's highly likely. She's a very interesting character in the sense that she was abused as a child by the maid. She was unlike the others. The two elder ones, Marie and Pauline, were very intelligent, and they were sent to boarding school in Le Mans, where their aunt was a nun, and they hoped that they'd send Leone along there too, but she just couldn't settle at school. She was too wild. She couldn't learn. Her nun aunt said that she had only the intelligence of a three-year-old, and she couldn't possibly teach her, even though she tried very hard. But some years later, her older sister left school. She was 16, and she overheard a conversation between Leone and the maid, Louise, and she realized something was going on that shouldn't be going on, and she deliberately listened then. And she found out that Louise was actually threatening Leone with beatings if she didn't stay behind in the kitchen to help her, and dissuading her from being obedient to her parents, actually forbidding her to speak to her mother at times. And so, of course, Marie told her mother, and she was going to dismiss the maid, naturally, but she had second thoughts. The maid actually was very devoted to Zaidi, very devoted, and she just felt, because Naomi was rather wild, she wanted to prove that she could control her and she could mind her, but she went about it the wrong way. Because she begged to stay on, Zaidi allowed her to stay, but with the condition that she never spoke to Naomi again. So she was allowed to stay, and she was very kind and very, very good to Zaidi in her last illness when she was dying. And in fact, Leone said, "I forgive my tormentor because of the kindness she showed to my mother."
Wow. So that act of kindness was strong enough to eclipse the pain and suffering she'd suffered as a child.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was just amazing, really, because she was had such a difficult temperament, and she was less kind of attractive to look at than the little ones, and probably than the older ones too. And yet she came through all that. She entered the visitation. She tried religious life several times. She entered the Port Clairs very briefly, and then she entered the visitation. Had three attempts. She entered twice and came back home again. The third time she stayed on, and she became a visitation nun. And after Thérèse died, if she put it down to Thérèse's prayer, she actually took the name Françoise Thérèse as a nun, and she overcame all this, and many people say that she was really the first follower of Thérèse's little way, because Thérèse was corresponding with her and telling her what she'd found out, you know, talking about the little way, abandoning yourself to God, trusting God, you know, seeing yourself as a child of God. And Leone was the first one, in a sense, to follow that little way. I wouldn't say she was literally the first one, but she certainly was one of the first people to follow it. And in a way, it's very much in the tradition of Francis de Sales and Jeanne de Chantal, who were the visitation saints. And you see, Pauline and Marie had been at school in the visitation, and they had taught Thérèse. So she got a lot of that kind of spirituality, which she then was passing back to Leone. But it's also true to say that Thérèse's little way was very much based on her mother's attitude to life. If you look at her mother when she was dying, the wonderful trust she had in God's providence. In her letters, she often says, you know, this and this and this is going wrong, but still, we have to leave it all in God's hands. God, he's over all, and we have to trust in God.
And isn't that the call for us all as Catholics, as Christians, is to trust in God?
Yeah, that's it. They had an enormous trust. The whole family had enormous trust in God. And many things went wrong for them in their lives. They lost four little children. Three children died when they were tiny babies. And a little girl died at 5 years of age. So they had to go through all that, and in a very short time span. And yet, Zadie was devastated. She found it terribly difficult, but she never lost her trust in God. She always believed that God knew what he was doing.
And what is it that specifically marks out Saint Therese as a saint? I mean, we've spoken obviously about her way, the little way, and that she's obviously been made a co-patron of missionaries with Saint Xavier, Francis Xavier, yeah. So what is it that, I mean, this young lady who died at 24 years of age, who was cloistered, living in a cloistered, in a monastic life, but yet she's so revered throughout the world. She's travelled, her remains have travelled here to Ireland, and many people have accounts of how she's made herself known in their lives, even today. Apart from that, what is it that set this in motion?
Well, I suppose God just chose her out, really, because she was very little known in her life. Probably only about 20 people knew her outside the cloister. Mm. And it was after her death that her prioress, who was actually her sister, Pauline, asked her to write her childhood memories, originally just to share it with the family. But after she died, that was published in a book as an obituary to Therese. And a year after Therese died, it was sent round to the Carmelite monasteries in France and to a few other people, priests mainly. And they lent it to friends. And people read it. They were just so impressed with her life. Now, it didn't stop at the childhood memory. She wrote more about her life in the convent for the succeeding prioress. And she also wrote a letter, which we know as Manuscript B, for her sister Marie, in which she talks about her little way of trust and confidence. And I think people just read that and they got interested in her. They started praying to her. And the miracles started to happen at a great rate, an incredible rate. They called it a hurricane of glory.
So this is what's made her a rock star, effectively, of saints.
Yeah, I think so, yes. It's just her influence was so great, especially in the 1920s and 30s. In the First World War, soldiers from both sides were wearing medals and of her, you know, and little relics that they got from Lizzie O'Carmel.
So, moving back to her parents then, why are they marked out for sainthood? I mean, you explained her background, and obviously they were very devout, but many parents are devout, surely. So why are they so special?
Well, I think it's fair to say that there are probably many other couples who have as much holiness in their lives, but we know about them.
Right.
You know, we have letters from Zadie, wonderful letters that tell intimate details of the family life. And they're written very naturally, and we can see the holiness coming out of them in a very ordinary kind of way. And I think, in a sense, it's because they lived their holiness in a very ordinary way that they are so appealing, because they didn't look for anything extraordinary. They didn't have any particular visions. Zadie did hear an interior voice a couple of times that was very influential in her life. That was why she took up lace making, and she also heard it when she was crossing a bridge and saw Louis, that this is he who I prepared for you. But that was about the once she heard Our Lady telling her that little Helene, who she was terribly worried because Helene had died, and she told a little lie and she didn't make her go to confession, and she was praying about that one day, and she heard Our Lady saying, or had an impression of Our Lady saying, I should say, she's right here beside me.
Oh, wow.
But apart from that, they had no extraordinary experiences. I don't think Louis ever had anything unusual, you know.
So the it was the knock-on effect. It wouldn't have happened necessarily only for the fact that their own daughter was chosen by God, and then their own, that shone a light, another light, if you like, on their own holiness and their own lives, which was effectively the precursor, if you like, for the little way.
Yes, I would say that's true. It's interesting, though, that at the time of Celine's Diamond Jubilee, which would have been in the 50s, I'm not sure now if it was a legate or the nuncio, who went to Lisieux to celebrate, actually said, now we have to bring Papa, meaning Louis. And it was a message from Rome to get that cause started. As early as the 50s. And it was actually started in the 50s, but Pauline, who was prioress at the time, she didn't take it up. You know, she didn't really believe in it. But the eventually it was taken on, and Celine, of course, was a witness at the tribunals for both her parents.